BPR interviewed Asheville Mayor Esther Mannheimer this week, just before state lawmakers passed the more than $500 million Helene recovery package. We touched on a range of topics, including the city's budget and the removal of DEI language from a federal disaster aid request. We are almost at the six-month mark from Helene. You just gave the State of Downtown address. What'd you talk about?
Well, you know, I think it's mixed reviews so far. We have a lot of businesses that are doing well and they're open for business, and we're seeing a lot of visitors return to Asheville, but we have others that have closed and others that are temporarily closed that we hope will still be able to reopen. The city's been working hard on trying to support businesses survive this period of time until our economy is sort of back up to 100%, because this is a very vulnerable time period where we really need to patronize our local businesses and make sure they can weather this period. And it's tremendously challenging. You know, one of the things we talked about today is the existing programs to help businesses after a major disaster. And it's fairly limited. You know, you have the SBA, you have Small Business Administration that provides loans, but a lot of folks are saying, look, I took out a loan during COVID and I don't want to take out another loan. So what other opportunities are there for me?
Can you talk about those other opportunities in the works?
Yeah, there are a lot of things in the works. There are grants funding programs that have been funded, and the city has been able to provide funds. Philanthropic entities have provided funds. The state has provided some funds. We're hoping that the state legislative package, we hope it will include additional grant funds for businesses. There's also things the city can do and has done to accelerate permitting for businesses that were damaged. You know, there's obviously unemployment for employees, and that's been extended as far as I know. So there's a patchwork, I guess, is really the right way to think about it for folks. But it's tremendously frustrating for business owners to try to figure out all the information they need to know, all the opportunities they have to make those applications. And some of them aren't successful. And so, you know, this is not for the faint of heart.
What are the biggest financial needs when it comes to recovery, and what are the city's pain points?
It's interesting. This weekend, we had Representative Sessions, a U.S. congressman from Texas, come in on Saturday and met with me and a group of city employees, as well as a number of FEMA representatives. And one of the things we talked about is how unique this storm is compared to a typical, if you will, hurricane on the coast. And it's presented challenges that, frankly, don't come up every time. And they've had to try to adapt their programs to meet our needs. So, for example, we have a lot of private roads and bridges throughout Western North Carolina that were destroyed or severely damaged, and there's not a perfect program to fund the rebuilding of those private roads and bridges. But FEMA put one together, and they reported that they have received applications from over 6,000 people to repair private roads and bridges and distributed over $19 million for that. This is throughout Western North Carolina. And that is not something they would typically see in a coastal hurricane event. So another area that is, it's not apparent to me that there's something to suit this problem, is the revenue loss for cities and counties, school systems, fire districts, what have you. There's not a good program to provide revenue loss operating costs for cities and counties. You know, there's plenty of money to rebuild the infrastructure. We have plenty of money coming in to rebuild roads. These are public roads, parks, water infrastructure, those kinds of things. But we don't have the funding to cover revenue losses. And this year, for example, the city of Asheville is tracking at about $15 million of revenue loss for this current fiscal year.
Let's talk about the budget. What are some of your priorities? And is a property tax increase in the city's future?
Yes, the budget is going to be a challenge. The budget was a challenge for us and many, many cities across the nation, even before this hurricane, because after COVID, sales taxes continue to flatten out. And while property taxes are our number one source of revenue, sales tax is number two. And so seeing that number flatten out has been a pinch point, a pain point, if you will, for cities already. And now, you know, having lost sales tax revenue dramatically, of course, because we were shut down, essentially, it's even worse. So looking at this next year, there are a couple of critical pieces. One is shoring up our reserves. So healthy cities maintain a rainy day. Now, I mean, no pun intended here, a rainy day account that signals strong fiscal health so that our bond rating will continue to be a AAA bond rating, which is what it is. And that's very important because we just approved $80 million. We, the voters, approved $80 million worth of bonds here in Asheville. So having that AAA bond rating means we'll get the lowest interest rate possible. And that means savings for our taxpayers. But we need to shore up those reserves and maintain our fiscal health. And in order to do that, we will have to raise taxes to some extent to be able to do that. In addition, there is not funding to provide for raises for employees unless we raise taxes. So we're learning what those numbers look like now. And it presents a challenge for fiscal forecasters, if you will, because we are coming out of this disaster. And that is a little bit hard to measure month to month how well we'll do. So it's kind of evolving is my point. But regardless, we know we're looking at some type of a property tax increase for this next year. That'd be the year starting July 1, 2025.
Back to big picture and talking Helene recovery. What were some of the things the city did really well and what would you do differently?
What I would say is the preparedness, and you and I have talked about this, that the city did before this disaster to rewrite our emergency operation procedures, to train everyone on those emergency operation procedures, to build the emergency operation center on Broadway, which we just opened. Those are all things we did right. And I think people saw it. They could see that immediately every one of our 1,200 plus employees were reassigned to be disaster recovery folks, whether you were already a frontline person like you were working in search and rescue or what have you. But if you were in Parks and Rec or you were in some other department, you were immediately reassigned. And standing up that communication piece with the county through their communications and delivering communications to the community as best we could, and even right here in this radio station, immediately I think people saw it. As soon as they could get online or turn their car radio on or whatever, they could hear it and hear those updates. I think that went really well. I think one thing that's been a learning experience for me is the complexity of a disaster on this scale and all of the federal pieces that it triggers. You know, this isn't something you do every day, right? Some communities may go a lifetime and never have a disaster like this, but there's so much to learn in how a federal response works, who you're going to be interfacing with, what they're going to be expecting of you, the kinds of information they're going to need. Now, we were able to do that, but we were learning every moment. And I think, you know, my advice for us and for other communities, and it already has been, I've brought a whole panel to the North Carolina Metro Mayors and presented on this is, you know, take that preparedness one step further and learn about how these federal programs work so that when they come to your community, when FEMA lands in your community, when the Army Corps of Engineers lands in your community and the EPA and the USDOT and all the different partners that need to come help you, that you have a good understanding of how that's going to work and what kinds of information you're going to need to provide them.
So the HUD secretary recently said they would not approve Asheville's disaster recovery plan if that plan kept in programs related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. The city removed the DEI language. Thoughts about that?
Yes. First of all, we have a quickly evolving landscape, I would say, with our new administration, and it's kind of a lot to keep up with. Obviously, a lot of orders and then court orders. And so the requirement of HUD before we can receive what's called CDBGDR funds, these are funds that are on top of all the FEMA recovery and rebuilding funds. before we can receive those funds, the city and the state also has to prepare what's called an action plan. And we have to submit that action plan to the community for comment, which is happening right now. And then we have to submit it to HUD for approval. And all those steps have to be followed before we can receive any of our of the allocated funds, $225 million in this case for the city of Asheville. It's a long plan, and on page 76 of that plan, it referred to the city's minority and women-owned business contracting program. Now it's called an MWBE program, and a lot of cities have them, actually. So there was a reference to that program on page 76 of this action plan, and that was what was objected to. So we removed the reference to the program, and we've been informed by the HUD staff that we're, you know, that that is acceptable.
Okay. Help us understand how that all played out. You got the note, the alert, and then what happened?
Note is one word for it. We got an email from the HUD secretary. And you know, the email was very kind and expressed an eagerness to work with us and support our recovery, but reminded us of the president's order. You know, honestly, I believe it's an order that's in litigation, but it was an order that the president signed. And so, but they said that they needed us to remove the reference. So that was handled on a staff level and that was done. Of course, this is a draft, so it's still editable. You can make changes to it.
And to that point, are there places where you would not accommodate the federal government insisting on changes as it pertains to DEI policies?
Well, we've only been approached about this one, so we're kind of taking it one step at a time. We are definitely mindful. I'll tell you, Helen, I am in communication with many mayors across the nation about what's happening to their cities in terms of federal funding for programs, and they are seeing cuts. They are seeing cuts to various programs. You know, this is not just, this is a real threat. And I will say, as a decision maker, as a policy leader, I think everyone is faced with this existential question of the need to help our community and the need to stand up for our community and the need to secure as much funding, especially for us in the face of recovery, versus, standing up against something you don't believe in. And, I don't have the answer to that. You know, I talk to my kids about it. I talk to my colleagues about it. You know, where do you fall on that spectrum? Do you scream and shout and get yourself kicked out of the meeting? Do you have a sidebar conversation with someone? Because I'm going to be honest with you, my experience has been with every single visitor we've had to Asheville, whether they're Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. They come here, they shake my hand, they look at me and they say, how can we help? What else do you need? And then you see what happens on social media and in the press or on TV. And it's almost like a complete disconnected world to me. It's almost like this is all happening in this very chaotic, instant, social media tweets and what have you. And then there's my reality, which is an unwavering desire to help support the recovery of our community from a federal and a state level. And to me, that's where the lane I'm staying in, and I'm going to work hard to make sure we get everything we need to recover.
Asheville Mayor Esther Mannheimer, thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ellen.